Good morning. Good to see you this morning and be seen. And we praise the Lord that we can worship Him together. We're glad to see Nate is doing well out there out west, and we are just praying for him. And this morning, we want to talk a little bit more about somebody that's very special to us, and that is the Holy Spirit. You know, we've seen a lot of things going on in the news lately. Protests, rallies, things that are trying to make things better. People are trying to promote love and peace with banners, but somehow it ends up being chaos a lot of times instead of love and peace. Why is it that we can't achieve that love and peace and justice that we're looking for? What's missing? In America, have we forgotten something? And if so, would that help? I think maybe we have forgotten the source of love and peace and justice. In 1 John verse 4 and chapter 4 and verse 16, God tells us, and we know and rely on the love of God that He has for us, because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Now, right in the middle there, you see God is love. But you know what? Sometimes I think we've turned it around and we in America start thinking love is God. If we just had love, everything would be fine. But if we're not seeking love through the source, who is God Himself, who loves us so much, He gave Himself for us. If that's not where we're looking for it, we're not going to find it. We have great goals. Love, justice, peace, tranquility, unity. These are all great goals. But if we're seeking them without God, we're going to miss it. God wants us to receive much more than that from Him, but we need to seek Him first. So the question is, how do we seek Him? Well, let's start at the very beginning and find out just what God's plan for us is. In the very beginning, God created this planet. And in Genesis chapter 1, He tells us that. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it's very important to know that He created all this, because that means He knows how it works. But another thing that you don't see in the English translation there is the original Hebrew, when it says, in the beginning, God created, that indicates that God is three persons in one. Because the word God there is Elohim, which is the plural of the word El for God, and it's the triple plural. They have a double plural and then three or more. And so this is saying, in the beginning, gods, at least three, but the word created is a singular verb. So in the beginning, the three united as one created the heavens and the earth. And we see that in verse 2, where it says, now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We have God the Father in verse 1, God the Spirit in verse 2, hovering over the waters. And if you were to look over into the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says that Jesus, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glorious of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the Creator as well, in John, chapter 1, verse 3. And so, we see the Holy Trinity was involved in all of creation. And because of that, we need all of God. Not just a little bit, not just Jesus, not just God the Father, but the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit need to be guiding us through life. He was there at the beginning, and He is there even now. And as a matter of fact, the Holy Trinity is seen in another way in Luke chapter 3. Verses 21 and 22 says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And He was praying. And heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." Now here, in Luke chapter 3, we see the Trinity expressed clearly as three persons, individual, distinguishable, and yet working in unison. They are all working to glorify the Father through the Son by the power of the Spirit. You notice he was praying, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven, from the Heavenly Father, said, "You are my Son." So we see all three there. It's very important to realize God is three in one. He's not three gods. He's one God expressed in three persons and distinguishable and yet always working together. Now that is very important to us in these days when we're looking for peace and unity, because the Trinity gives us something that we don't have otherwise. Most people in town here believe in God in some form. They might believe in a different God, but most of them believe in a God. Many of them probably believe in Jesus. But what about the Holy Spirit? Have they given any thought to him? Is he just another name for God? Or is he a third person in the essence of who God is? And why is the Holy Spirit so important to us? Well, the fact that God is three in one, unified, loving, caring, working together throughout all eternity, the Trinity is God, the embodiment of love, peace, and unity. He was three throughout all eternity, and yet he was living in love, peace, and unity with himself, three people together for all of eternity. Now, when I was growing up, I had a sister, and I hate to admit it, but there were good days and there were bad days. There were some days when we just did not get along. And much as we might try, and much as we were very similar to each other, sometimes too similar, we both had our own ideas and we both wanted them, and that's the way it's going to be, we would end up in a quarrel. It might even get to become a fight. I remember one time when it became a bad fight. I won't tell you about that right now. You can ask me later. But people, when we get together for any length of time, we're going to have turmoil. We don't love all the time. We're not unified all the time. But God, throughout all eternity, was united as one, loving and unity with himself and at peace because he thought as one. Now, that Holy Spirit we're talking about that we seem to forget about, he does a lot to give us that same peace and unity that he has within the Godhead. He's three persons as one from all eternity, and so he can unite us. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, here's what he says. "For we were all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free." In other words, he can give us unity. The Jews and the non-Jews did not get along in Jesus' day. Slave and free, totally opposites. They were at each other's throat. And we see that even today, where we're looking at our own history and seeing that white people subjugated and enslaved black people for so long. And it's a division that has plagued us. There are many other divisions. But the Holy Spirit baptizes us to form one body. In other words, we're a family in Christ. Now, we can't necessarily forget all the sins of the generations in the past because we're human. We just can't forget it. But Jesus gives us the power to forgive. Although it's still there, it's still part of our past, we can forgive it. And we can move on. Jesus, through his Spirit, gives us real unity to work together for God's purposes, to give love, unity, and glory to him. That's our purpose. And in Romans 8, verse 9, God tells us, You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, does not belong to Christ. In other words, God's Holy Spirit is supposed to be in control of you and me. When we trust Him, we then can yield to Him and allow Him to take control of our lives. The Holy Spirit is God's presence living in us, in every person who's truly trusted Him enough to submit to Him. And so He says, we're controlled not by our own sinful desires, our sinful nature, but by the Holy Spirit of God. He says, the Spirit of God lives in you. Then later on, He says, the Spirit of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ. That's the same Spirit. So this Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. He lives in us through the Holy Spirit. His presence is with us. And He guarantees it. He says, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. If you haven't trusted Christ, you don't have His Spirit. But if you received Him as your Savior, the Holy Spirit moves into you that very moment, and you have Him, and He has you for the rest of your life and eternity. The problem is, how much of you does He have? Have you yielded to Him? Do you yield to Him day by day? He can give us the control that we can't work up ourselves, so that we can treat everyone fairly and for their good, not just for our good. Since the Holy Spirit lives in me as a believer, He's involved in every aspect of my life. And there's a lot of things that He can do for each of us to help us through the situations that we face each day of our lives. What's He going to do in me? Well, John 16, if you turn there, and verses 7 and 8, you'll see that He is our comforter or counselor. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He's our counselor, our comforter, it says in another translation. Are you ever overcome with emotions? Just don't know where to turn? You're just totally beside yourself. Well, He is our counselor and comforter. The Holy Spirit can guide you and comfort you through whatever you're going through. If you listen to His direction and His love in the Scripture, He'll guide you to what you need to do. He'll show you how to handle those emotional ups and downs that come to us throughout our lives. Now, what about when you find yourself going in the wrong direction? You don't know how to get back on the right path. You've made some mistakes, and you just seem to keep making more. It just keeps leading to more and more guilt and shame. Well, it says He will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll convict us and show us where we're wrong and guide us back into the right path. And if we're not a believer, if we've not received Jesus and His payment for our sins, He's there to convict us that we need Him. We are sinners. We're not righteous like Jesus is. And His judgment is coming. So the Holy Spirit calls us to Christ to receive His forgiveness. And then He shows us our need for that forgiveness as He shows us our own guilt. But then, Lord, He forgives us. He loves us. And He gives us that forgiveness and that comfort that we can only have through Christ, and the ability to forgive those around us. If He forgave us of all of our sins, we can certainly forgive one another. He shows you that you can't be good enough to please God. But Jesus loves you anyway and wants to forgive you. So if you trust Christ to pay the penalty for the sin on the cross that you've done, and He pays for it on the cross of Calvary, He'll forgive and put you in God's forever family. He's there to convict us of our need for that, so that we'll trust Him and receive it. Now, sometimes we just wonder, who can you believe anyway? There's so many voices in this world, so many things on the news, they're conflicting one another, so many things on the internet, And I've been reading some of the political blogs, and it doesn't take long to tell if they're a Republican or a Democrat, or they're for the president or against the president. But what's true? We can tell who they're for, but they're using facts and some not-so-fact to try and convince us. And there's lots of convincing stories and lots of advice out there. Everyone seems so sincere and believable, but they can't all be right. So how do we know what's right? The Holy Spirit guides us. And a big part of the problem that we're facing is that we're in fear. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into the truth. He'll not speak of his own, but he'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what's yet to come. He'll show us the truth. He'll show us that we don't need to fear one another, but that we can work together. As you look at the news, you see a lot of fear going on. The police are afraid of their suspects. That's why they go to such great lengths to subdue them, sometimes without reason. But they're afraid. They're afraid for their own lives and maybe afraid for those around them. But you know what? The perpetrators, or maybe even the innocent people that are being attacked by the police, they're afraid too. And so that fear drives both sides to irrational action, to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And that causes a lot of commotion and problems, and we don't need to give in to that fear. God gives us an answer to the fear. That fear is guiding us, and it's a huge motivation, but we don't need to stick with that motivation. God has given us something else through His Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the power and of love and a sound mind. If we have God's power to love His way and look at things objectively instead of subjectively, then we can have the right kind of responses. And if both police and those that they're seeking to apprehend act reasonably with the power of God and love, then they won't get into those messes. We need God's Spirit at work in us. The Spirit of truth can guide us into real truth instead of fear. He'll teach us the truth from God's Word and show us how to apply it in our lives every day. Then we can love and work together, even with people we don't agree with in everything. If we're looking for God's purpose, God's priorities, then those disagreements we have with one another because I want this and you want that, those will become less urgent because we're looking for God's priorities, God's will, and God's best. God can deliver us from fear to experience understanding, love, and peace. First of all, love and peace from Him, but then also between one another. He can give us that strength to experience His power to love and to show peace. Now, what if my priorities and goals are opposite to yours? If I'm not seeking God's will and my own, what's He going to do? Well, as we saw last week, in Romans 8:26-28, he says, the same way the Spirit helps our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groans that words cannot express. He searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He can guide us to submit to God's will and look for God's plan instead of our own. We need to serve Him, and the Holy Spirit then will interpret our prayers according to God's perfect will, and He will guide us to act according to His will instead of my will or your will, where we'll come in conflict. God's will is what's best, and His Spirit will show me how my prayer can fit in His plan and my will can be bent to His, so that I can live according to His plan and His will. Remember, God is in charge, not me. I'm not God, He is. And so Ephesians 5, verse 18, says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The interesting thing there, the word, the Greek word for drunk and the Greek word for filled are the same word. When you're drunk, it changes the way you think, the way you talk, the way you walk. If you've ever seen a drunk, you know he's kind of talking, don't know what he's talking about. And he kind of falls over. But he did that voluntarily. He chose to let alcohol take control of his life for that moment. Well, the Holy Spirit can fill us or control us if we choose to yield to Him. Instead of yielding to wine, which leads to all kinds of problems, we yield and are filled with His Spirit. Controlled how we think about one another, how we talk to each other, how we walk and live. He can take control if we yield to Him. But it's a choice. Just like that alcohol is a choice, we need to submit to God's Holy Spirit each day. Or we can choose to live our own way and probably mess something up. I know that's how I go. If I do it my way, it's going to mess something up. Somebody's going to get upset with me. But if I'm looking for God to guide me, I can avoid a lot of that. So what's the choice? A beautiful, unified life or a mess? I'll choose God anytime. If we choose to follow God's guidance in our lives, we can get what we really need and what this world really needs. So what's this world really need? What are we looking for? What were those banners they're holding up? Love and peace and unity? Here's where it comes from. God's Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things as these, there is no law. Isn't that what we really need in this world? We can share that with our world. Jesus is there to save each one that you know. He's there to give them love for one another and for Him. Joy instead of sadness and destruction. Peace instead of turmoil. Patience instead of wanting it now and having to have it right away. Kindness toward one another. Goodness instead of evil. Faithfulness instead of deception. Gentleness instead of violence. Self-control instead of losing control. God's Spirit is the source of all those things we really need in this world. That's exactly what we need. Imagine if all of us lived that way. If all of us had God's Spirit in control. He's available. He's available to anyone and everyone who asks Him to come into their life and give him this fruit of the Spirit. He's available to you right now if you'll trust Jesus to forgive and free you so that you can live for Him instead of being a slave to live for yourself and your selfishness. He can give you all this beauty. Let's ask God and His Spirit to take control of our lives each day and lead us through the day and then to share it with others. Everyone needs what only God can give. That's what our country needs. That's what this world needs. What this world needs now is not just love, sweet love, but God and His Spirit guiding us. Let's help one another to live by the power of God's Holy Spirit day by day. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You are the answer to this world's problems. But so many don't have You, and so they're going their own way and making a mess. And Lord, we can't change them, but You can. We can share with them Your love and Your message of salvation. It's up to them to receive it. But Lord, we pray that many will, enough to change the course of this country, enough to change the course of this world. Lord, if all of us went out and shared that message of Your love and forgiveness in Christ, what a difference this world would see. Lord, use us to change our world right here where we live by the power of your Spirit in us. Thank you, Lord, that you can do that in each individual and you can change a country one person at a time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's your next step? Well, as we said last week, the first step is trust God's Spirit to cleanse me, to put me permanently into God's family. Have you received Jesus? Have you trusted him? He wants to give you eternal life and that love and joy and peace we were just talking about. And then if you've got that love, let it shine. Let people see it. Don't hide it under your own selfishness, but let God's love shine. Show people God's love through your life. Lean on God's Spirit for comfort and guidance in the hard times. We're all facing some difficulties, but God is faithful. We can take comfort in His Holy Spirit and His guidance for what's coming next. Then we might want to ask God's Spirit to guide our study of His Word so that we know His plan and can pray according to His Word as well. Then let my prayers be guided by God's will and God's Spirit instead of my own desires. Lord, help me to follow you. Let's take a moment and just think about, what does God want in my life? Maybe it's something totally different. Whatever God is leading you, I pray that you would just submit to Him and commit to following His next step for you.